Good morning. My name is Peter Kasiri Vu, and I'm so excited to be here. What a beautiful church, what a beautiful country. I'm enjoying every bit of it except the cold. I am freezing every moment of the day, so I'm so glad that you had to put some temperature up this morning to help me out. God bless you. It's a very beautiful morning today, and as you've seen the little video, it's been showing some of the things that we do. I'm a pastor in the country called Uganda. I think I need to tell you where Uganda is. Uganda is in Africa. I think you can see my skin, so that helps. But also Uganda is in East Africa. It's a very small country. It's a country which is very, very small. I think it's a fraction of your province. But we have a population of 37 million people. So we have a lot of people. So when Pastor was bringing me up yesterday, I was so amazed that most of your land is empty. So if you can lend us some land, we can use it back home. We will, for sure. But it's exciting for what God is doing. I'm part of the LifeLinks network of churches. We've been part of that since 2005, and it's been a very beautiful journey. We have a network of churches back home. We have about 660 churches within our network, and it's been a very beautiful journey to see what God is doing in our beautiful country of Uganda. As beautiful as it is, it also has lots of struggles. So this video is a video that we show to people so that we can encourage them to come to Uganda and do some missionary work and do labor with us. So that's an open invitation for you to come. As soon as you come, we will definitely serve alongside with you, and God will definitely use you. I'm married. My wife is called Irene. We have four children. Our oldest is 23, and our youngest is almost 10. So we thank God so much for what he's doing. This morning, I would like to share the message of the Bible with you. We will be talking about a man called Jabez. I believe that most of you have ever read about this man. He's found in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. Many of us don't know where that book is because it's a book that we usually don't visit. But 1 Chronicles is in the Old Testament, if you don't know. And chapter 4 is quite a very interesting chapter because it's a chapter that begins with talking about so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, and so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so. That's what it talks about mainly. But when you come to verse 8, we get to hear about this man called Jabez. And let me just read some of these verses about this man. Chapter 4, verse 8. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you because, Lord, you've allowed us to worship you and to come in your presence. We pray that, Lord, even as we study and share about the life of Jabez, we pray that, Lord, you will encourage us. That, Lord, through this encouragement, we'll be able to serve you and even to encourage those who are going through pain. So, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jabez is a very interesting man because we only read three verses in the Bible about him. But through those verses, we get to hear a lot. but also we get to know a lot. The Bible tells us that he was an honorable man. The Bible tells us that the name that he has was given to him by his mother. Also, the Bible tells us that he was born in pain. The Bible also tells us that he was a man of prayer. We also find out that Jabez comes from the tribe of Judah. So, a few things, but a lot to learn about Jabez. So, the title of my message today is From Pain to New Territory. From Pain to New Territory. That's the title of my message. So, when you read this portion, we realize that this man was born in pain. Born in pain and was named by his mother, which means that the mother was the one who experienced the pain. Now, all of us know that when our mothers give birth to us, they go through a lot of pain. But I believe that the pain the Bible talks about today is not just the pain of childbirth. I believe that there was some suffering surrounding the birth of this young man. Probably there was probably the loss of a father or a relative, or probably the father left, or probably there was poverty or sickness. We don't know. But whatever it was, Jabez was born in pain. That's what the Bible tells us. So friends, pain is a common feature in life. We all go through pain. And many times when we go through pain, the way we react is different from different people. And different people get through different kinds of pain. I come from a country which is very, 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 very poor. So much of our pains in my country are caused by the poverty that surrounds us. And many of our people die from things that they are not supposed to die of. So sometimes pain comes from lack, it comes from poverty, it comes from sickness, it comes from the loss of a loved one. It comes from different kinds of tragedy. Pain is a reality. And even for us Christians, pain is a reality. Every one of us will go through pain at one time or another. But there is something quite interesting. Many of the people that have gone on before us, or people that we tend to read about or to hear about, people that God has used in many, many different ways, actually have gone through pain, and God has used their season of pain for them to discover him and to become different in life. So friends, if you are going through pain, any kind of pain today, I just want you to know that God can still work in your life even when you're going through pain. There's a young man in our church. His name is called Francis. Francis got polio. I don't know if you know polio. Do you know polio? Yeah, Francis went through polio. He was very little. I believe he was around 3 years old when he got polio. So all these legs they couldn't grow. So for several years, as a young man growing up in the village, in the bushes of Uganda, he had to crawl using his hands and just push himself along in the village. And then his father finally got a bicycle, so he would put him on the bicycle to take him to school. When he was a teenager, God, by his grace and his mercy, provided someone who gave him a wheelchair. I got to meet this man about 15 years ago, and I got so excited because when I met him, he was working with a Christian ministry, and when you spoke to him, you actually forgot that he did not have legs to use, because somehow he encountered God. God changed his life. And when I talked to him, he said, "Pastor, one day I want to start a ministry that will help people who have the same problem like me." So Francis ended up becoming a staff of our ministry. He actually started serving with our orphanage, and he became a great uncle to all the kids that we have. A few years ago, Francis began a ministry to help people with disabilities. I want to say this to you, that at this time as I speak, Francis has given out 8,000 wheelchairs to people with disabilities in Uganda. Francis is married, he has 3 children, he travels the world, and Francis is a man who has an amazing testimony. God used his pain to change his life, but also God has used his life to help other people in pain. So pain can be used of God in one way or another. There's a verse of scripture that I love very much. It's found in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. This is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to release from darkness from those who are prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to provide for those who grieve. That's the verse of scripture I just wanted to encourage you with. To provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called ox of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. So friends, God can use our pain. Now when we go back to this man Jabez that we've just been talking about, he was a man who was in pain. And this is what the Bible tells us about him. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. A man who was born in pain was more honorable than his brothers. Now, up until this time, we didn't know whether he had brothers or sisters, but it seems he had. So the Bible says he was more honorable. So one of the things that I want to share with you today is that as bad as his situation was, as tough as his environment was, this man decided to be different. He decided not to be like other people of his generation. And I believe that's why the Bible mentions him. Says, this man is different. He's not just like all the other people that were mentioned before this chapter began, and even as this chapter began. He was different. So friends, we can be born in families where things are not the best, where things don't run the way we expect. And usually when we are born in those kinds of circumstances, many times we end up compromising our life. We end up not doing things that others expect us to do. We end up not being the best of ourselves. We end up many times actually turning away from God. And many times we end up not having a purpose in our lives. But the Bible tells us that Jabez decided to be different. So the question I want to ask you today, even as I share, is when you find yourself in a difficult situation, how do you react? How do you react? Do you decide to be different, or do you decide to act like all the other people who don't believe in God the way they act? Now here the portion tells us that Jabez decided to follow God. He turned to God. And there's one major thing here that we see, that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. So when he turned to God, he decided to be different. He decided not to be like other brothers and sisters that he had. Every one of us, God has given us a lot of potential. potential to do great things for him. But many times we find trouble in our lives and we put excuses around us and we say, life is hard, things are difficult. So somehow we tend not to bring out that which God put in our lives. We say, God has not been very fair to me. Therefore, let me waste my life. But this man decided not to waste his life. So the first thing we see here is that he was a man of honor. He was a man of honor. When you hear the word man of honor, what comes to your mind? This is what comes to my mind. He was a man of integrity. He was an honest man. He was an upright man. He was a man of high moral standing. He was a man of principles. He was a man good in character. He was dependable. He was a man of distinction. He was a respectable man. He was a man with a very good reputation. Friends, we are here in this building today because we are children of God. We ask Jesus to become master and Lord of our life. And since we did that, our life must be different. Yes, we may go through the suffering like other people go through, but let our life be different. Let our walk be different. Let our words be different. Let us be known by the character that we have, by the good works that we have. Then people will say, for sure, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl believes in Jesus. He was a man of honor. The second thing we see about this man, Jabez, he was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. Let me just read it. And Jabez, verse 10, cried to God, the God of Israel. And he said, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me. Keep me from harm, so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted what he requested. Now, friends, this is the other side of this man, Jabez. He was a man of prayer. When he realized what he was going through, and I don't know what he went through, when he realized that he was a man who was born in pain, and I don't know what kind of pain he had, the Bible says he turned to God in prayer. And the Bible says the prayer he prayed was not just prayer, but it was a prayer where he cried to God and said, God, can you make a difference in my life? Can you change my situation? Friends, prayer provides a release from our pain. Prayer invites God in our situation. Prayer changes our perspective about our situation. In prayer, we are able to work with God to the changing of our situation. But also what I know that when we start praying, God actually shows us a bigger picture of life and a bigger vision of life. Prayer changes us actually more than it changes our situation. Because when we change, we are more able to face our situation and make a difference in our situation. In prayer, we see that God is bigger than our challenges. Yes. We see that God is so big and our problem is so small. In prayer, we see that God has a great plan for our lives. In prayer, we realize that God can use us. God can work through our lives. The Bible says that his prayer was a cry to God. It wasn't a religious prayer. You know, where I grew up, I went, as a young boy, I went to the Anglican church, and it was a denominational church. I don't know if you have it here, but it was more of rituals and forms and formalities. And what I remember is that growing up, I grew up during the days of Idi Amin. Have you ever heard of a man called Idi Amin? That man comes, used to lead our country so many years ago. He's now long dead. But during that time, we were going through a very, 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 very terrible situation as a country. It was tough, it was evil, and it was bad. But I remember as a young man going to church, they would say, let's pray, and we had these written prayers. And these written prayers were written in the 50s, and we are praying for the Queen of England. And as a young man, I would say, why do we have to pray for the Queen of England when we have this terrorist terrorizing our country? It was form. It wasn't prayer born out of our hearts. And what I've found, even as Christians, many times our prayers are more surface prayers. They are not born out of our hearts. They are not born out of our emotion, but they are formalities. We pray because they told us to pray. We just recite words. But this man's prayer was a real kind of prayer. It wasn't a religious prayer. It was serious prayer. It was desperate prayer. He wanted God to change his situation. He knew that God is real, and he could change his situation. He knew that God could do something that no human being can do. And friends, I come from Africa, and I want to tell you this. God answers prayers. God can do what no human being can do. God is a big, mighty, wonderful God. And when you go to God in prayer and you start talking to him, you are not wasting your time, because God answers prayers. So many years ago, God sent me to a village. It's a village called Gaba. That's where our church is. I had just finished Bible school, and in prayer, God told me, I want you to go to this place. And I remember struggling with God because I really did not want to go to that place. And you may wonder, why? Because I had visited this place before, and I didn't like it. Not because of anything, but it was a fishing village. And everywhere you went, people would smoke the fish. They would put fish over fire. So the whole village was smelling fish. Now, friends, I love fish, but I don't like the smell of fish. So So I didn't like the place. And it was very, very poor. So in prayer, I hear God saying, I want you to go to that place. And after struggle and prayer, I said, okay, God, if you really want me to go, I will go to Gaba. So I remember leaving and telling my pastor, I am going to Gaba. And my pastor says, if God told you to go, please go. Then my friends that I grew up in church, I said, I'm going to Gaba. All of them laughed at me. They said, what? Is there any good thing in that place? Because it's very poor and it was very bad love. So going to that place, I started doing ministry. We started with 15 people. We had a tiny little shelter, and this shelter was 20 feet by 30. On the roof was papyrus. I don't know if you know papyrus, but it's a reed found in Africa. And whenever it rained, all the rain would just come down on you, because papyrus can't keep up with the rain. It was tough. It was difficult. And I remember doing whatever I could to do ministry. In Bible school, they had taught us about evangelism. And I remember I did so well, I got 92% in the evangelism course. So I started knocking on doors and witnessing and sharing the faith with the people. And people would say, yes, I've accepted Jesus. And I would say, okay, on Sunday, please come to church. Many times these people would not come. I remember inviting an evangelist to come and preach in our village. And it was a beautiful outreach. It was powerful. At the end of the week, we had 40 people who said yes to Jesus. And we brought them to our little shelter. And when we brought them, our little building was packed that day. And I said, praise the Lord, this is exciting. In 2 weeks, we are back to 20. And I said, what is going on in this very village? Then I remembered that my pastor, when I was young, he was a man of prayer. He would come on Wednesday. Wednesday was our Bible study, and he would kneel down, and he would kneel for 3 hours before the Bible study. And the man would call upon God. And I said, I remember my pastor was a prayerful pastor. So I said, okay, let me start praying. So I would take off days and pray. And then there are 2 other people who joined me, and we started praying and seeking after God. Friends, as we were praying, God started showing us that the village and the community where we were was a community that had been bound by the spirits of evil. I started recognizing that there were many shrines around our community, lots of shrines. Witch doctors and people were doing all kinds of crazy things. So God just woke me up to a reality that there are forces that were against the church. So I started calling my people and I said, guys, let's pray. Let's fast. Let's seek after God. Friends, I started seeing God changing our community one person at a time. There's a shrine where the witches used to do all kinds of crazy things. And this shrine was next door to our church. These people had actually more clients than the church. And as we prayed and prayed, we started seeing that this man's clients were reducing, but the church was increasing. And we kept praying. And I remember one time, It was evening. We had come to our little Bible study, and we had shouts outside. It so happened that the shrines were grass thatched. The shrine had caught fire. Now the people thought it's an accident, but for us, we realized that God is answering prayers, and the shrine is catching fire. Friends, this increased, and one time, this witch goes to the village chief and say, I want to sell my property. Can you tell that pastor that I'm selling my property? Maybe he can buy it. The witch had lost power because the church has started praying. Friends, one day, God provided all the money, and we bought that little piece of land, and we pulled down all the little buildings in that place. And today, that property belongs to our church. It is because God answers prayers. Friends, there is no force on the planet that is as powerful as God. And friends, a child of God who kneels down and calls upon God can see amazing miracles and wonders at the hands of God. Friends, God answers prayers. Prayer. And Jabez cried to God. So the question I have today, how often do you cry to God when you find yourself in seasons of trouble? How often? Do you ever take time to seek after God when you're in trouble? Do you take time to pray? God answers prayers. Amen? I have seen it. That little church that I'm talking about grew from 15 people to hundreds of people. Today, our church has more than 2,000 people who come to church every Sunday. all people of all kinds. And I look back and I say, I am glad that our people learned to seek the face of God. And friends, finally, prayer. After prayer is vision. The Bible says that he prayed and he said that, will you bless me, God? And will you enlarge my territory? Will your hand be upon me? So the prayer had two things. He said, bless me. I think he was saying, God, I've been living a time where I've not had much fruit, or my people have not had much fruit. But will you bless my life that my life will bear fruit? Friends, it's okay to pray for God to bless your work. What actually it means that, God, will your favorable hand be upon the things that I do? The second part of the prayer was that, God, will you enlarge my territory? Which is my real final thing. He asked God to give him a bigger vision of life. That he will not only think about his small family or his small problem, but he will think that life is bigger than himself. Will you enlarge my territory? When I read that, this is what comes to me, is that, God, will you help me that my life will be a life of influence, that my life will touch more people than myself and than my siblings, that my life will touch those who are suffering, and I'll be a source of answer to those other people. Friends, this is a prayer that I would like you to pray. A prayer for yourself, but also a prayer for your church, that God will expand your territory. And I'm glad that you guys are building an amazing, beautiful church facility. Pastor took me there last night. So friends, my prayer is that God will use your church to be a church of influence, that you touch more people, hundreds of people, and you draw them to the God that has changed your life. Jabez was a man of prayer. Jabez was a man of honor. Jabez overcame his pain by seeking after the God of Israel. But Jabez prayed that his life will be a life of influence. That's my prayer, is that God will use your life to be a blessing, that you not focus on your pain, but you seek God, that will take you out and you become a man and woman of influence. Can I pray? Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house today and for teaching us a few lessons from this man called Jabez, a simple man. But through him, we find that we can seek after you, even in the midst of our pain. And that, God, you can turn our test into a testimony, our pain into a source of help to other people. Help us, Father, to be men and women of honor. Lord, help us that we use our life as we pray, that would touch more people, more souls, that our lives will be a life that brings solution to those who are going through pain. Lord, let the life of Jabez be a lesson to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. Our hope is that it will encourage you and help you to live the life God has called you to. If you would like to contact us, you can find the info at our website, freedomworshipcenter.ca. Goodbye and God bless.